drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wild.
One of my favorite songs in the world, it's Glenn Campbell playing Wichita Lineman, and that's happening because Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History is with me, and we're talking about Glenn Campbell for this week's Pryor Center Profiles. Randy, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Great. Speaking of great, don't you think Wichita Lineman is just one of the best popular songs of the last 700 years?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it wasn't his first hit, but it was one of his biggest hits. Over five decades, he did 64 albums and sold 45 million records. That's huge for a guy from, you know, he always said he was from Delight. And, you know, it's spelled Delight.
Right.
But locals pronounce it Delight. He was actually not even from Delight. He was from Billstown, the seventh of 12 children. Got a guitar from his dad when he was 5 years old that his dad had gotten from Sears. He had quite an upbringing. I mean, they were sharecroppers, and he picked cotton to make extra money for his family. It was quite a life. Their house didn't even have electricity.
How does he get on the road to becoming Glenn Campbell?
Well, he started playing the guitar, and he moved out to New Mexico and started playing with his uncle's band. And then this is the huge thing, is he moved to Los Angeles when he was like 18 years old and joined this group that became known as the Wrecking Crew. During the 60s and early 70s, they were the background studio musicians for, I mean, hundreds of hit songs, from Elvis Presley to Frank Sinatra to the Monkees. I mean, it was the gamut of great music. And these were the guys. I mean, he was there with Leon Russell and Dr. John. And he had a couple of small hits, but the one I remember as a kid, because my dad was a big fan of his, but I remember it playing on our console, was, and it wasn't a country hit. It actually was a big hit in the pop charts, was By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving.
That's By the Time I Get to Phoenix, a huge, huge hit for Glenn Campbell. Really his first big hit. How big was it? And this is what propels him on to stardom, correct?
Oh, it really pushed him through. And he became a big news story in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So, you know, he bought his parents a house in Delight, which was huge. So Jim Pitcock, my former boss and news director at Channel 7, went down and interviewed his parents, and they were so excited about what he had done for them.
Mrs. Campbell, do many people come by and see you?
Yes, sir. There have been quite a few by. They've come from most everywhere by here. And it's not very many days. I don't reckon there have been a day what somebody hadn't been out to see the house.
Mr. Campbell, how has your life changed in the past year and a half or 2 years?
Oh, it's changed considerably since we've gotten this new house. don't have to hold in no far wood and pine knots, and it's all same heat, you know, all electric, and I haven't been sick with asthma down here.
Mrs. Campbell, how does it feel to be the mother of one of the finest recording stars in the country at the time?
Well, we're really proud of him, everything, but I'm just still the same old Carrie, still the same old thing.
What kind of boy was Glenn, Mr. Campbell?
He was just a good old country boy, and come as picking a guitar when he was about 4 years old. I got him a little three-quarter size guitar, and his hands would play good on this little guitar. And I learned him what I knew, and then my brother learned him all he knew, and so he went to playing, making money.
You're proud of this house, aren't you, Mrs. Campbell?
Yes, sir, we sure are proud of it. Glenn been wanting to make it for several years, but I told him that old house down yonder would do me and Dad as long as we live, but he wouldn't hear to that. He kept on wanting to put us up this new house, so we finally gave up for him to put it up and everything.
Glenn Campbell's parents, and this is at the point where Glenn Campbell is just becoming literally a household name.
Yeah, and he was such a household name music-wise. The movie people wanted to take advantage of that.
Well, he's a good-looking guy, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so all of a sudden there's True Grit. I mean, how perfect is that? Charles Portis from Arkansas, who wrote it, and Glenn Campbell, you know, getting a co-starring role with John Wayne.
And what would turn into John Wayne's Oscar-winning role, right?
Exactly. And so they decide to have the world premiere in Little Rock. And they have it at this brand-new state-of-the-art theater called the Cinema 150. All of a sudden, I'm not even sure how this happened, but the Democratic Party of Arkansas, which, you know, at the time, everybody.
That was the party, the only party.
Democrat. Yes, but they decide to do it as a black tie affair and raise money for the party. And here's a report from Larry McAdams from KATV about the controversy.
Here at the UA Cinema 150, that most controversial motion picture, True Grit, is now ready for its world premiere. This picture was not controversial in the sense that most pictures are depicting sex nowadays, and we hear a lot about that, but controversial in the respect that it was a political venture on the part of the state Democratic Party. You've read and heard about all of the accounts. Regardless of what they said, this is a successful event. The theater is sold out, and the Democratic Party expects to net some $30,000 to $32,000, and that is success.
All right, that's from the True Grit premiere in Little Rock. Which is, we're talking more than 50 years ago now.
And, but Glenn Campbell comes to Arkansas for the premiere, and of course there's a big news conference, and they ask him about his political views and the controversy, and this is what he said.
I was asked to do the premiere by Paramount, and I didn't know about the controversial stuff until like couple of weeks ago.
How do you feel about being back here, world premiere at home?
Great, I really do. I never thought to, when I used to go pick cotton to get enough money to go see a show, I never thought I'd be making one, and it's really a great thrill.
What's your own political affiliation? You're a Republican?
I'm a registered Democrat, but I leaned the other way the last time. I think almost everyone in Arkansas is a registered Democrat, aren't they?
Glenn, you're registered in Arkansas? You vote here?
No, I'm California? Registered in California.
You plan to do any campaigning for Republicans next time?
No, I don't plan to get mixed up in politics at all. I think I'll leave that to the politicians.
How do you think you might ever run for office?
No, I don't think so.
How do you feel about your first picture?
It's a good movie. I think I could have done better on my part with a little experience, you know. A little experience never hurt anyone in any field.
They have the big affair, and it's great. And so here's an interview with Glenn Campbell at the opening.
Glenn, how do you feel about tonight?
Oh, I feel great, really. It's kind of really one of the big highlights of my life, I think.
We've seen you as a singer, heard you as a musician, and now we're going to see you as an actor. any last thoughts before this film rolls?
I don't know. I hope it comes out good.
Your next picture is also a story written by Charles Portis.
Right, it is.
Are you guys going to get a team going, maybe?
I hope so. If True Grit is successful as everyone says it's going to be, we may have something going, yes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You know, in that interview, he talks about another movie he's going to do with Charles Portis.
Norwood.
He did that movie.
I went to the movie theater to see Norwood with my parents.
He starred with, what, Joe Namath?
Yes, Joe Namath.
it was just not a good movie. Do you admit?
Oh, well, I haven't seen it since I was 7 or 8, and I just was happy to get to the theater. And if I recall, isn't Kim Darby, who was a co-star in True Grit, doesn't she also star in...
Yes.
Yeah.
She's in it, too.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the worst part, is the villain in it is Dom DeLuise. How do you cast it that way?
That I don't remember. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, like I said, I watched it the other night, or at least got about halfway through it, and it's like, gosh, this is painful.
And
so that's why he was not a giant movie star.
And he had the resurgence in his career later with Rhinestone Cowboy and covering Alan Toussaint's Southern Nights. We all remember that, but what doesn't always get remembered is just how great a guitarist he was.
Oh, he was a virtuoso. I mean, he was a great guitar player. And all right, here's something that I found that... is a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
It's not country, you know, it's not pop. But in 2001, he was in Sioux Falls with a full orchestra, and he played the William Tell Overture.
When I was a kid, the first Western movie, the movie period, they had a little theater in D-Line, Arkansas, I saw was Lone Ranger and Tonto. And what impressed me most was, and it just really knocked me out. And I said, oh, Lord, let me be able to play that one day, because I was playing guitar at that age. And I learned to play it. I really did, man. Whether I make mistakes or not, you probably won't notice it anyway. It's a dadgum fast. But I'd like to do it in remembrance of Clayton Moore, my first Western hero, and Jay Silverhill. See, they were really something else.
Hi, old Silver, away! Get him up, Scout!
And then, you know, unfortunately, in 2010... he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and worked up, you know, this goodbye tour. And three of his children actually played with him in his band, especially his daughter. And fortunately, I got to meet them. I was with the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival when his documentary premiered, and they came in for that, and he was not well enough to come, but I got to meet them and get to, you know them. And then he died in 2017, but part of the documentary, the very last song he recorded on his last album, Adios, was with the surviving members of the Wrecking Crew.
All right, we're going to go out with that song, which is I'm Not Going to Miss You. It was from the last album. But before we end, I want to remind people that you're Randy Dixon. You're with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Google Pryor Center. You'll find history like this and so many other things. You are, of course, invited to come back next week with another trip through Arkansas history.
Thanks.
All right, guys, you want to play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's same tune?
Yeah, same tune.
Same tune.
songs and never defined who I am.